Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International and welcome to the program Family Health Matters. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Well, first up this afternoon, as usual, is Female Masail. It's a segment of the show, or rather, a segment of the show in which we unpack basic and complete fiqh masail pertaining to the needs of women. The topics that are discussed are seasonal and the segment is interactive. So please feel free to text on the number 082-8492-786 or you can email Sister Zakira on her email, and that is ZA@radioislamlive.com. Inshallah. Okay, so that's up in the first segment of the program. Also in this segment we have health news. It's week 4 and it's a final week for Heart Awareness Month, and today we'll be focusing on tobacco and air pollution. My guest will be Dana Govinda, the Health and Promotions Manager of the Health, the Hearts and Stroke Foundation of South Africa. And our third guest for this afternoon, inshallah, is Naseema Yusuf. And today we'll be talking about total revamp. And of course, I will tell you a little more about all of that in a few moments. But we're going right back to Sister Zakira. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Zakira. Jazakallah khair for joining us this afternoon.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Apa Zina, it is an absolute pleasure being with Apa. How are you doing this afternoon?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. We have a wonderful day out here today. Shukr, yeah, alhamdulillah. I hope it's the same out there.
A bit overcast, but overcast in a good way. I think we've been having a bit of rain and then intermittently really hot weather. So alhamdulillah, today is a bit of a mix of both. And there's so many visitors still here on the coast. Mm. I'm sure they're enjoying it.
Yeah, and I'm sure you had a very, very busy weekend with all the people from Joburg and, you know, surrounding areas coming down to Durban.
Yes, indeed, Appa.
Okay.
In fact, Appa, the reason that I chose the topic of discussion for the Female Masail segment today is because of that. So it's holiday time. And as much as we were discussing Idda, as you know, the segment is seasonal, and hence, we normally put our discussions on hold that are like discussions that we're having throughout the year. And then when it's season for a certain thing, like last week we spoke about Muharram and Ashura, and this week I'd like to share with you the fiqh of travel, the fiqh of a female's travel in particular. So inshallah, that's what we're going to be doing today. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. So when we look at travel and what makes a person a Shari traveler, there are a few things that as a female we need to look at. First of all, as a female, no female is allowed to travel for more than 78 kilometers without a mahram. And this is something that has been, you know, we've gone through many, many ahadith, and therefore, to come to the conclusion that a lady can travel without a mahram, this is something that is very much debatable. Be it the only time that the Shafi'i do allow this is when it is with a group of reliable women and the lady is going for her fard hajj. Mm-hmm. For any other journey, a lady needs to have a mahram. This be her father, brother, husband, son, and so forth. So that's out of the way, and having understood that, even though some may say that even though with the travel being so easy like we have it today, should the ruling not have changed? But there are certain rulings, like I explained last week on the program, you know, about doing the whole Ramal and there being no need for that in today's time, because Ramal was an act that was done to show that the Muslim men were robust. And there being no need for that to be done in today's time, but still, this was a sunnah and hence it needs to be kept on. The same with certain masail of deen, that despite the fact that today travel has become so much more easier, there are certain masail that are ingrained and that will not change. Among them is the masala of woman traveling with a mahram.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, having understood that one, we then move on, and I think the query that comes about then is with regards to Qasr Salah, and where exactly do you perform the Qasr Salah from, and when do you become a traveler? With regards to this, the ulama are of two different opinions, and for this one, you should refer to or you should follow the alim that you normally follow on all other masail. And this is that some ulama feel, or their opinion of, after having studied, obviously lengthily studied various fatawa and hadith, etc., that a person becomes a Shari'i traveler once he leaves his locality. So if I live in Linasia, then once I leave Linasia, I will become a traveler, and therefore, even when I am at the airport before my flight takes off, if I'm going by flight, that is, even then I will perform Qasr Salah. So this is the opinion of some of the ulama, that once a person leaves their locality, they become a musafir. The other opinion then would be that if a person, or rather, the person becomes a musafir only when they leave the site of civilization. So these are the words of the fiqh kitab, in Arabic obviously being translated. So what this basically means is that when you leave the boundaries of your city, when you leave the boundaries of your city. So here in Durban, it will depend from which direction you're coming, but if you're going like towards Joburg, so when you're going back from Durban to Johannesburg, then most people would look at Pavilion, you know, the shopping center around that area, that would be where the boundary of Durban would be. And from that point on, a person then, if he's traveling for 48 Sharia miles, he would be considered, from that point on, he would be considered a musafir. So yes, there is a little bit of difference of opinion there. Nevertheless, as I said, whichever alim you follow, you will go according to that. And therefore, if you follow the alim that says that only when you leave the boundaries of your city, you become a traveler, then for this person, even if you are at the airport waiting for a flight, waiting to catch a flight, and you have you know, a certain salah time that comes in, you then will be able to, or rather you should then perform your salah in full and not qasr. Alright, then we look at jam, salatul jam. According to the Hanafi madhab, it is not permissible to perform salah in jam, right? So it is not, according to the Hanafi madhab, you will not pray asr salah in Dhuhr's time and make niyyah that you are making taqdeem of asr, bringing the salatul asr forward like that. But here's what you can do. Here's what you can do. So some of us, maybe you're traveling overseas and you know for sure that being in the air, you can't really be certain as to when the time of that salah will come in. Because alhamdulillah, having traveled a little bit myself, I remember clearly that when we were on a flight to the US, for some period of time it was daylight. Almost 3/4 of the flight it was daylight, because we were traveling backwards in time. So there wasn't really any salah time that had come in any of the time zones that we were in. So if you understand that after like 10 minutes of boarding the flight, you're going to enter into a salah time. For example, let's say it was asr time. What you can do is, as a Hanafi is, you can read your asr salah in the earliest of its time. So even though normally we wouldn't pray asr salah that early as Hanafi, and it would be considered what we would say the Shafi'i asr time, even then you can pray your salah on this specific occasion. And the reason for this would be because you don't want to have to get onto the flight and then now be, you know, in a sort of a catch-22 and not know what time to pray your salah. So you can do that. Right?
Okay.
Having explained that, there's one last mas'ala that perhaps the woman would like to know. When does a woman become a, when will a woman perform the Qasr Salah if she is a traveler and she gets her haid before she travels? So, if a woman leaves home as a ha'idha, a woman in the state of haid, and she reaches her destination as a ha'idha, and only while she is there, maybe a day, 2 days later, she then becomes clean, she attains her tuhar, she takes her ghusl, she will not be considered a she will be a woman that will not perform qasr salah. She will perform full salah. Right? So I'm just going to reiterate that. She leaves home in the state of haiz. She reaches her destination in the state of haiz. She only takes a ghusl while she is at her destination. She will perform full salah. She will not perform qasr salah. On the contrary though, if she leaves her home and during the journey her state changes in that her haiz ends, she may not be able to take the ghusl immediately, but her haiz has ended while she was still on a journey. In that case, when she reached her destination, she was already tahira, she was already clean. In that case, she will be able to perform the qasr salah and she will not have to perform full salah. So inshallah, that's where we're going to have to leave it for today because our time has left. But if you have any further queries on that note, you could always drop me an email, za@radioislamlive.com, or like the sisters like to do sometimes, is just drop me a WhatsApp message, 061-406-2688. Please do not call this number. You drop me a message, inshallah, and as soon as I have availability, I will respond to you. Until we speak again next week, afzinat, jazakallah khair, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
JazakAllah khair, Sister Zakira, for clearing those very important misayas for us, alhamdulillah. You know, it is very important for us to know the misayal pertaining to traveling, so JazakAllah khair once again for that. Ameen. JazakAllah khair. And Sister Zakira will be back, inshallah, next week with more female misayal, inshallah. And of course, that email address again for any of your queries or questions, za@radioislam.com, or rather, radioislamlive.com, inshallah. Well, we're going to be taking a very short break, and when we return, it's health news, and today is the, week four. It's our final week for Heart Awareness Month, inshallah. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome back to Family Health Matters. And this is the health news segment. It's week four and it's the final week for Heart Awareness Month. And today we're focusing on tobacco and air pollution. Now, we did, in the beginning of the month, that was week one, we did focus on tobacco and cardiovascular disease. But tobacco and air pollution is also a very huge problem that we are facing at the moment, and that is one of the reasons why we are focusing again, or rather even the Health Heart and Stroke Foundation of South Africa is focusing on this very important topic as this month comes to an end. And this month, that is Heart Awareness Month, will also lead up to World Heart Day. So joining me online is our guest, Dana Govinda, the Health and Promotions Manager of the Heart and Stroke Foundation of South Africa. Hi, Dana. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sister Zina. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, it's a pleasure, and I've been enjoying these programs, that we've been doing for the past few weeks. And I just hope that our listeners are taking heed of all the advice that is being shared on this program. Okay, let's start off. Please, once again, just for the benefit of our listeners out there, please tell us, our listeners, a little bit about Heart Awareness Month again.
Every year, Heart Awareness Month is dedicated to heart health and preventing heart disease, culminating on World Heart Day, which is on Saturday, the 29th of September. And our theme this year is My Heart, Your Heart, and the Hearts of All South Africans. And the whole point of having Heart Awareness Month is to encourage all South Africans to re-evaluate their heart health and to get tested, to know their risk of heart disease, and to start adopting healthy behaviors so that they can protect their hearts and the hearts of their family and friends as well.
Okay. Now, tobacco and air pollution, that is what we are going to be focusing on today. But tobacco smoking is really a very huge problem globally. Can you tell us a little, how big really is this problem, especially in our country, in South Africa?
Tobacco smoking is a huge problem globally and in South Africa as well. The prevalence of smoking in South Africa is like about 16.5%, with 7% of women and 37% of men smoking. Globally, 1 in 8 deaths are tobacco-related. So you can see that this is a huge problem worldwide.
Mm.
And also to note that smoking triples the risk of having a heart attack and doubles the risk of having a stroke.
Okay, and people just don't seem to care about that. I think, you know, you tell people stop smoking, please, for the sake of your heart or for the sake of your health.
Yes.
And you still find people walking around and smoking, and you sometimes wonder, do they really care about their health?
But also, you know, it's not easy. It is a process. But I think what our public must know, there is no safe level of smoking, and there is no such thing as a safe cigarette. Even those labeled mild and have a very low nicotine content. So I think, you know, then if people are finding it difficult to quit smoking, they need to get help, because it's never too late to benefit from quitting. Because after quitting, many effects are reversible. So there are more positive impact in terms of quitting than carrying on smoking, you know?
Yeah. Anyway, you know, there are regulations in place with regards smoking in South Africa. And maybe just for the benefit of our listeners, can you just perhaps give us an idea as to what some of these regulations are? But also what I would like to know is that these regulations, that did they make a difference to the prevalence of smoking in the country?
Absolutely, Sister Zinat, because South Africa has regulations in place,
mm-hmm.
and this encourages, discourages tobacco use. These regulations include taxation on tobacco products,
mm-hmm.
as when people have to pay more for the product, it might discourage use. So that is the whole aim of actually having some regulations in place.
Mm-hmm.
And also the packaging and labeling of tobacco products are also subject to legislation. And, of course, the restriction to dedicated spaces, you know, areas in public spaces like restaurants and so on,
mm-hmm.
these all sort of make a difference so that people smoke less and eventually we're hoping will give up. Yeah, because all these places, it makes it very difficult for individuals to smoke in public, and of course the taxation also has an impact in terms of reducing smoking in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we also must note that even though the sales of cigarettes and other tobacco-related products are down, tobacco smoking still remains one of the significant risk factors for the onset of heart disease, stroke, lung cancer, and other illnesses, so that we need to keep educating the public that it is important to quit so that you can reverse the effects of tobacco smoking.
Okay. Now, I know you mentioned a few, but how does tobacco smoking really affect the heart?
Tobacco smoking triples the risk of heart disease. It narrows blood vessels and expands blood clots. It reduces the blood flow to the heart. When blood flow to the heart is reduced, what happens? You risk a heart attack. And if blood flow to the brain is reduced, then you risk a stroke. So tobacco use is strongly associated with onset of heart disease and stroke. And the nicotine in tobacco results in increased blood clotting, blood pressure, and increased heart rate as well.
Mm-hmm.
And even people who smoke less than 5 cigarettes a day are at risk for early heart disease and stroke.
What about pregnant women?
When the effects are very, very vast, because the evidence show that the mother who is exposed to secondhand smoking, or whether she's smoking, she can have a higher risk for developing lung, cardiac, and other problems. And later, maybe the baby can be dependent on tobacco use as well. And I think you must also note that when nicotine is introduced into the unborn babies, the babies have a very low birth weight. They might have physiological problems, and including cardiac problems as well. So this places the child at risk for nicotine addiction as well.
Mm-hmm. So it's really, really not a good thing to have.
Not a good thing to have for the mother to smoke or even breathe in secondhand smoking.
Okay, talking about secondhand smoking, what does secondhand smoke do to non-smokers? And like we said, in particular, we spoke about babies, but what about children?
Yeah, in fact, what happens is, evidence shows this, that tobacco residue is left on furniture, carpets, curtains, and you know, wherever a person is smoking, what about clothing? So the residue of smoking is left in these items. And recently, in the Western Cape province, 1 in 5 babies at nicotine levels, equal to that of an active smoker in the bloodstream. So the secondhand smoke is very, very, it's also very harmful for children to be around people that are smoking. So I think when people are smoking, they must bear in mind that they need to do it in a designated area, because that causes more harm to the body than anybody else. Because when a person has a cigarette, he's got the filter, which actually takes some of the nicotine and other sort of substance, prevents him from taking in the direct smoke. But for a secondhand smoker, the person is taking in the smoke directly. He's got no filter. So it has more harmful effects as well.
Mm-hmm. And I know sometimes, you know, people tend to think that if we smoke outside, it's not going to have an effect on anybody inside. But we forget that if you're smoking outside, even smoking outside, all that smoke still goes right into your clothes. And you come in and pick up your little baby or hug somebody, and all that definitely is really, you know, harmful to the person, to the people out there.
Exactly. It all adds up. So I think, you know, we've got to be careful when we are smoking in front of children and people, other persons in the house, so that they are not affected by that smoke as well.
Okay. Can you please explain to us what actually happens to the circulatory system when one smokes tobacco?
The nicotine in cigarette smoke results in an increase in blood clotting, blood pressure, in fact, high blood pressure and a high rate. This all results in a decrease in oxygen reaching the heart. This combination then causes damage to the blood vessels, and this causes various problems in terms of breathing. You know, people have asthma, lung problems, and also, it also causes cancers as well. So, you know, one of the main problems in terms of smoking. So it's just not one condition. There's a whole lot of problems that cigarette smoking can cause.
Okay, with regards to electronic cigarettes or electronic smoking, you know, firstly, you know, for people that are not so, you know, that are not aware of this, but please tell us what are these e-cigarettes, and, you know, I also understand that there are so many people who considers it safe. Is it safe? What do you think about it? Or what does the Health and Stroke Foundation, what is your opinion with regards to this?
Well, Sister Sina, the Heart and Stroke Foundation South Africa agrees with the World Health Organization's opinion that electronic cigarettes are just as harmful as normal tobacco smoking. That is because of the addictive substance, nicotine, that is present in both combustible and non-combustible products. So the vapor devices, they have chemicals that are harmful. And this is glamorized because they have very sort of, they have flavors, you know, fruity flavors, etc. So people feel that it's a lot more safer, but it's not, because it still has the addictive substance, nicotine. which is, you know, very, very harmful.
Mm. So basically, the nicotine is still there.
It's still there.
It's still there. It's just masked by these flavors. But the fact of the matter is that you are still inhaling nicotine.
Exactly. And other chemical substances that are found in that mixture or the syrup that is in the vape devices.
Mm-hmm. So basically, it's not safe. Much as
it's
we want
safe.
To think that it is safe, it's not a safe option.
It's not a safe option. And as we mentioned earlier, there is no safe level of smoking. So I think this is an important fact, that there is no such thing as safe cigarettes, even though they might have other flavors, maybe labeled low nicotine. So we've got to be very careful about that and not be misled.
Okay. Is there, you know, I know this is the last week and I'm really going to miss doing these programs with you, but is there a final message that you would like to convey to our listeners today?
I think the important thing, you know, once you decide that you want to quit smoking, remember that your heart and your lung and your overall health will improve and your risk for developing cardiovascular disease will decrease.
Mm-hmm.
The risk for disease, heart disease and stroke decreases by 36% 2 years after tobacco use cessation. So I think we must try and get help so that we can quit successfully and we can make a difference in our heart health.
Okay. Just a very quick question. Is there an easy way of quitting smoking?
Well, I think, you know, as we mentioned earlier, it's not very easy.
Mm-hmm.
But if we try, for example, look at those times when you usually smoke, plan an activity that you love so that you can forget about the cigarettes, stay motivated, and, of course, the few days are the toughest. Avoid other smokers and smoke-filled environments. And also, importantly, find support. You know, refer to a support group or some medical support, and you can also use other medical quitting aids such as nicotine patches, gum sprays. All these will help to make the process much quicker and easier.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I think giving you that motivation that, you know, you can quit and make a difference.
Mm. And I think just be positive and believe that what you are doing is the right thing for yourself, for your health, and for everybody around you.
Absolutely, Sister Zena. That is so important.
Mm.
And also, the National Council Against Smoking, they are very, very helpful because their health practitioners can refer you to a psychologist that can assist in addictive substance. They can counsel you. So you've got support where you can, you know, quit smoking.
Okay, and finally, you know, just if listeners would like more information, where can they get this app from?
Yes, our listeners can go for more information to our website, which is www.heartfoundation.co.za. They can also follow us on Facebook, Heart Stroke SA, and on Twitter at SA Heart Stroke, and join the conversation by using My Heart, Your Heart.
Okay, thank you so much, Dana, for you know, coming on and doing this program with us, and thank you to the Heart and Stroke Foundation for being my guest, you know, and having guests with me for this last few weeks. We certainly do appreciate it, and we hope that our listeners out there have learned something, and you know, would, you know, obviously take a note of all the advice that you shared with us. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, and Sister Zena, also for our listeners, they can also go to a Diskin who are offering free health risk assessments nationwide, and this includes blood pressure checks, glucose screening, body mass index, cholesterol screening, and also iron levels. So we started this on the 3rd of September, and the screening goes right up to the 12th of October. So our communities can go and get themselves tested so that they know the status.
Okay. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure having you on our program.
Thank you, Sister Zina. Thank you for having me.
Okay, thank you. Well, that was Dana Govinda, the Health Promotions Manager of the Heart and Stroke Foundation of South Africa, telling us more about tobacco and air pollution, and of course, most importantly, about our heart health. Thank you so much. Well, we'll be back in a few moments, and we're speaking to our third guest for today, Sister Nasima Yusuf, and we're going to be talking about something called Total Revamp, and also about something that we know and we've heard about, a miracle. It's a miracle juice or a miracle fruit. I'm not quite sure. We'll ask Sister Nasima all about that in a little while. And so please stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments to talk to her. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program Family Health Matters. I'm your host, Sister Zinat, and joining me in this final segment is Sister Nasima Yusuf, and we're going to be talking about something called Total Revamp, and we're also going to be talking about something called mangosteen juice, or I think it's known as Zango juice. Now, I'm sure many people out there have heard about this, so we have Sister Nasima online, inshallah, and she'll be telling us more about all of this. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Nasima.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Zina.
Jazakallah khair for joining us this afternoon.
Jazakallah for having me.
Okay, so Sister Nasima is originally from KwaZulu-Natal, but she's now residing in Sandton. So it's lovely to have you with us on this program. Please tell us, what exactly is Total Revamp?
Okay, Total Revamp is like a clinic, and we specialize in healing the total body. We believe that people's bodies are very, very toxic. So what we do is we go into the cell and we start repairing at cellular level, but with 100% natural products. You know, the world that we're living in is very, very toxic. From the food that we eat, the water that we drink, all the things we apply on our bodies are all impacting on the toxic level of our body. So what happens is our body becomes very acidic, and that leads to inflammation of the body, and it impacts on different parts of your body.
Mm-hmm. So basically, it's not only what we eat or what we drink, but, you know, we need to also understand that our body can absorb all this toxicity around us as well.
Absolutely. People don't realize that even stress, little places like having an argument with someone can release cortisol in your body.
Mm.
And that is toxic to the body.
Okay. Yes, definitely. You know, there's so much of all these different emotions that we keep within ourselves. These, you know, especially the bad ones, the bad emotions, the bad feelings that we have within us, all of this actually causes your body to become so toxic, and we don't realize it, that even
yes.
This causes so much of diseases that actually comes up as we get older, and as long as we keep them inside of us, it will obviously cause us all these
what people don't realize is that 85% of the population is sick. They either have cancer, arthritis, psoriasis, they're overweight, they can't lose the weight, they struggle with migraine. It's just unbelievable. You don't realize that when you see people that they sick.
Mm.
Yes, they are.
Okay, so what process do you use to treat people?
What we do is we don't use medication. We use 100% natural products. So what we do is we teach you how to clean out, how to detox your body. And we use the premium tea, the Moringa premium tea, and we use the mangosteen juice. So we detox your body, and then we nourish the body. And we teach you how to do that, and then we show you how to balance the body.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've heard a lot about moringa seeds and, you know, this mango steam juice, and I would like to know more about it, but let's, you know, we'll wait for you to come to that to explain to us what that is all about. But you mentioned that products are 100% natural. Can you just enlighten us more about that?
Okay. So the juice that we use in detoxing, nourishing and balancing the body is the mango steam juice. If you haven't heard of the mango steam fruit, it grows in Southeast Asia. It's a very, very powerful fruit. It grows in Cambodia, Vietnam, Philippines, China, Malaysia, India. So what does company called Wild Flavors do in Germany? They puree the whole fruit with the skin. The skin is loaded with a whole lot of phytonutrients and antioxidants. And because the skin is bitter, they add strawberries, cranberries, blueberries, cherry, pear, and apple. So it's quite an amazing concoction, and it's absolutely powerful. It's so powerful that you can apply this mango steam juice on cuts, on burns. It's like an antiseptic. There's 2,500 scientific studies on an antioxidant called xanthone that's in the skin. And they say it's a natural antibiotic, a natural antihistamine, antifungal, antiviral, antimicrobial, anti-cancer, anti-tumor, anti-TB, and you can lose weight with this. So it's very, very powerful.
So that is just the seed. But, you know, yes, certainly I have heard about the mango steam juice. You know, we've read about it, we've heard about it. I've seen the bottles too, but I haven't really had it. So, you know, tell us more about the benefits of this juice, mango steam juice.
Okay, it's very, very powerful. So what it does is it strengthens your immune system. It combats inflammation. Improve cell-to-cell communication, and it thwarts DNA damage. You know, DNA damage leads to cancer. It aids in the lymphatic system drainage. It keeps your thyroid functioning optimally, reduces insulin resistance. It lowers your body fat. And you know, the body fat is what actually clogs your arteries and so forth. It heals nerve damage. It balances the endocrine system. It aids in the body synergy. Very powerful. Also reduces hemorrhoids, heals lesions, you know, like damages, especially like diverticulitis and so forth. It reduces pain. It's got natural COX2 in it and PGE2. So what it does is, instead of taking a Panado, you take a cut of this when you have a headache or some pain. It's really powerful. There are a lot of people out there that are struggling with dermatitis and eczemas. It naturally reduces.
Wow. It really sounds like a miracle drink. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's called a miracle drink.
It's called, yeah, it's really powerful. You know, Mr. Sardinus, I'm drinking this now for 7 years, personally.
Mm-hmm.
I have rheumatoid arthritis.
Yes.
So, that's how I found it. So what happened was, I was taking the medication from 2010 to 2011. And the methotrexate, prednisone, and all the medication started affecting my liver and my kidneys. I used to feel sick. And within 8 months, my liver couldn't cope with the medication. And somebody told me about this juice. Mm. And I found it, and I started drinking it. I have never gone back to my doctor.
Alhamdulillah, that's wonderful.
Absolutely.
Okay, now, you know, how safe is it to take this mango steam juice with your medication, or do you, you know, not take the medication when you do drink this juice?
No, you still take your medication.
Okay.
Unless your doctor sees your symptoms are decreasing and he puts you off. It's 100% natural fruit. There's no preservative even. It's sorry, it does have preservatives, but from the skin of the apricot and peach. So it's very, very safe.
Okay. And just another question with regards to this. Well, I can't. It just slipped my mind, but I will. Oh, yes. How much of this juice do you drink it? Do you drink it like a normal juice, you know, where you would just go open a fridge and fill up a glass of juice? Or is there some way of, or drink it more or less like a medication?
You drink it on an empty stomach three times a day.
You'll have
a 30 ml pot in the morning just before your breakfast. You'll have a 30 ml pot midday and 30 ml pot in the evening before your meal. So when you open the bottle, you keep it in the fridge because it's pure fruit juice. So it's 30 ml three times a day.
Okay. So now you also spoke a little about the mangosteen juice, which I know, or if I'm not mistaken, is also called the Zengo juice. So you spoke about it, you know, being very rich in antioxidant xanthones. What is that? Can you explain a little more with regards to this?
Okay. So xanthone is a very, very powerful phytonutrient. In nature, there's about 200 xanthones. And you'll get like one in honeybush, rooibos, and two in pomegranate. But the skin of the mangosteen has over 77 of this antioxidant.
So it's found in the skin, actually.
It's actually found in the skin. And remember, the skin of the mangosteen is bitter. That's why we add strawberries, cranberries, blueberries. They've got a very nice wild berry flavor. Now, an enormous amount of modern research and study have been channeled towards unlocking the secrets of this remarkable fruit. In fact, scientists have actually identified the major compound found in this fruit that's called xanthone. So it's, you know, it's so powerful, it supports every part of your body. So I say, why would you use medication when a food can heal your body?
And I think that's where many people are going towards now, you know, a natural natural foods to heal themselves.
Yes, and that's what we teach at Total Revamp. So we don't prescribe medication. We actually teach you how to use different foods for different ailments, but our main one is the mangosteen because it's so powerful.
The mangosteen juice, who can consume this juice? Is it safe for children? Is it safe for adults, old people? How does it work?
It's for anybody. Because it's a natural food, even newborn babies can take it. So you don't have to be sick to actually take this. By taking the mangosteen juice, you're actually protecting your body. You're preventing your body from contacting all these viruses and all the things out there in the air. Remember, sister, we actually walk in the mall, and we don't know who's got TB, who's got drug-resistant TB, and if your immune system is weak, you'll be able to contact anything. So this protects your body. It's like an insurance against any disease. Very powerful.
It's like your vaccinations that you take to protect you from all these diseases that are out there. And it's so, you know, just the common flu. It's so common these days. You know, you just walk around or you're just in an environment where somebody has the flu and you end up getting it.
What about our children?
Yes.
We send our children to school. And, you know, you don't know who has what.
Definitely.
So this is by giving your child this, you actually boosting the immune system of your child. And remember, our body is supposed to have a toolkit with all kinds of nutrition and multivitamins and so forth in there to use whenever the body needs it. But because our food is so depleted, our body has nothing to use as a defense.
Okay. when one starts with taking the mangosteen juice for that matter, so how quickly can one actually see results, or not so much results, but the difference on oneself?
Each person is different. I know some people say within like 2 to 3 days, they felt they could sleep better at night, they have reduced pain. Different people are different. I recommend that you stay on the mangosteen juice for a minimum of 90 days to feel the total benefit of it. It's very powerful because it will, the first few days it will detox you. Then it will, your cell walls will open and start feeding your cells food.
Okay.
So, different people are different.
Okay. I'd love to talk more about this, but we're coming to the end of our program already. It's almost time for the news. But please, before I go, would you like to just share, some of your contact details for people, if they would like to, more information or perhaps become agents, etc. Please share that contact detail with us.
My name is Yasima Yusufande in Stanton.
Mm-hmm.
My contact number is 072-583-5587. We are looking for agents all over Gauteng, Cape Town, Durban, because remember, we want people to be able to use the product freely, right? So if you're interested in becoming an agent, you want to work from home, please contact me on 072-583-5587.
Okay.
I also offer a service where I do consultations for free, and I show you how to get onto the product, but for each body type, it's different.
Okay, thank you very, very much for sharing all that information with us. And I'll just give them that number again. It's 072-583-5587, and the name is Nasima Yusuf. We will have this number with us downstairs. If you are interested, please feel free to contact us. Well, Jazakallah khair, Nasima, for being my guest today. I certainly do appreciate it, and we hope to speak to you again soon.
Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. And from us all, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.